19. Most of us are familiar with this well-known story of Sodom and Gomorrah and Lot. There's so much taught in this story that we can learn from this morning. So we're just going to walk through it and learn together. And so there in verse 1 of Genesis 19, there came two angels to Sodom and Eve, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom, and Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them. And he bowed himself with his face toward the ground, and he said, "Behold, now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and ye shall rise up early and go on your ways." And they said, "Nay, but we will abide in the street all night." And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned into him, and entered into his house, and he made them a feast, and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. So we'll stop there for now and pray, and then we'll go through the chapter together. Lord, just use your word in us, our hearts this morning, Lord. We want to learn from you. We want to be changed by you. Lord, I know there are needs that need to be met, and I know you can meet those. We thank you that we have your powerful word that we can open and share together and hear from the Holy Spirit. Thankful that we have Jesus Christ, our Savior, and he's the one that makes all this possible. We want him to be glorified in this service. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we see here that Lot, on the outside, he seemed to be a spiritual type person, didn't he? I mean, here he is inviting strangers into his home. And of course, this was custom back then, that if a stranger came into town, you would do your best to be a blessing to that person, make sure that people had a meal and a place to sleep. It's just the way they did things. But he looked on the outside like he was a spiritual person. Here he is in the gate, so he's one of the leaders of the town. Here he is showing hospitality, inviting strangers into his home. It all looks good on the outside. Kind of reminds me of Balaam. Remember, he kept talking about how spiritual he was, and yet on the inside he really wanted that money for cursing Israel. Or even Jesus in Matthew 23, let's turn over there, he talked about the scribes and the Pharisees and how they, on the outside, looked very spiritual. And Jesus even mentioned that. And so they would do all the right things on the outside. They would tithe, they would fast, they would help people out when they had needs. And yet, as Jesus says here in Matthew 28, verse 27, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you're like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones, and of all uncleanness. Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within you're full of hypocrisy and iniquity." And so sometimes people get very good at this, at appearing all spiritual on the outside, but you know, well, God cares about the heart. The Bible says, "Man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart," 1 Samuel 16. And let me tell you, Lot's heart was not right, as we'll see. So we'll go back to our chapter there in Genesis 19, and we'll see that Lot, even though he was related to Abraham, he had gone a long way from God. And so verse 4, "Before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both young and old, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot, and he said unto him, 'Where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them.'" So God is very careful to write things in a way that children can read the Bible, and it's appropriate. But I think you all know what this is saying, and that the word sodomite is alive today for a reason. Came from this story and from this city. It says, "And Lot went out at the door unto them and shut the door after him and said, 'I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly.'" Sodom and Gomorrah had stooped to unbelievable wickedness to the point that these men had surrounded this house because they found out strangers were there and they wanted to have their way with them. And if you go to Jude verse 7, keep your place here in Genesis, but look in Jude verse 7, God actually uses Sodom and Gomorrah as an example to teach us about wickedness. The Bible says, Jude 7, "Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them, in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. So God says that they're an example. They're to teach us something. And that is that God hates sin. It's that simple. And as we'll see, Sodom and Gomorrah, most people estimate that about 1 million people lived there. And God killed them all with fire and brimstone. Think about that. For what? To teach us a lesson about how much he hates sin. But this story is more about Lot, and that's who we're going to focus on this morning. So back to our passage there in verse 8. We're going to find out how spiritual Lot really was. Behold, now I have two daughters, which have not known men. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do ye to them as is good in your eyes. As parents, we can't even understand this statement, can we? We can't even relate to what Lot is saying, because it's just so foreign to a parent to think that Lot would offer his daughters to this mob. Think about that. But that's what he did. Only unto these men do nothing. So I'd rather give you my daughters and protect these strangers, willing to sacrifice his own daughters to these men in place of strangers. And what we find here is a picture of how far a Christian can fall. Yes, Lot is a picture of a Christian, believe it or not. And we're going to find out how. Can Christians fall this far? They can. Now, how do we know he was a Christian? Well, a believer. Go to 2 Peter chapter 2 and I'll show you. God tells us he was, so that there's no question. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 6. The Bible says, "And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemn them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly." Verse 7. "And deliver just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked." You see that word just? So Lot, like Abraham, believed God. And it was obviously accounted unto him for righteousness, just like it was for Abraham. We come to the New Testament, and the Bible refers to him as just. Now, we can't find one just act in the man's life in Scripture. He was just bad news. But he was not right with God. And he's a picture of Christians who have lost sight of what it's all about, of right and wrong, of setting their priorities right, of putting God first, and have fallen back into sin. And as God describes them, like a dog returning to his own vomit, which is what we look like when we act like Lot. And that is in, I forget where it is. Oh yeah, 2 Peter 2. If you're still there, verse 20. It says, "For if after they've escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they're again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse than the beginning. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they've known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is returned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire." Give your pig a bath, it's just going to run right back into the mud. This is what a Christian looks like when he goes back into sin, into the sinful life. So back to our passage. God here is using Lot to teach us a lesson about ourselves, about Christianity in general. Notice verse 11, "They smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness." So praise God, these angels delivered Lot's daughters from a horrible fate. Did Lot deserve that? No. But do we deserve salvation? Do we deserve God's grace and mercy every day? No. Verse 12, "And the men said to Lot, hast thou here any besides son-in-law and thy sons and thy daughters and whatsoever thou hast in this city, bring them out of this place. Sodom and Gomorrah, as we see in 2 Peter and Jude, became a picture of sin and wickedness, how far man will go, how far even men who've already believed in God will go, Lot being that person. And they're saying, bring them out. God's judgment is about to fall. Bring them out of this place. Now remember, Lot had a choice earlier on in his life. Remember when Abraham and Lot's herds got too big and Abraham said, we're just going to have to part ways because we have too many. And he said, you can go into the mountains or you can go into the cities. And Lot said, oh boy, those cities sure look nice. And here years later, we find him fitting right in to the wicked lifestyle of Sodom and Gomorrah. But now these angels are saying, bring them out. It's time. God's judgment is about to fall. Bring them out of this place. God wants his family to be rescued from sin, but also rescued from the judgment of sin. And God wants the same for us. Bring them out of this place. The Bible says, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, in 2 Corinthians 6. They said, verse 13, for we will destroy this place. So that's how we know these are angels, because they themselves are going to be part of this fire and brimstone destruction. It says, the cry of them is waxen great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it. So God has sent these angels to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah with fire and brimstone. And they said, the cry of their sin has come up to the face of God. He can't take it anymore. It's time for Sodom and Gomorrah to be destroyed. But we're giving you, Lot, and your family an opportunity to escape. Did they deserve that? Absolutely not. So it says, verse 14, Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. You see, when a Christian stops living for God and goes back into sin, it doesn't just affect that person. It ruins their testimony as well. And it ruins their ability to impact others for the Lord. And here we have Lot going to his sons-in-law who had married his daughters and said, God's about to destroy this city. And they're looking at him saying, well, who are you? Who are you telling us what God's going to do? You've never talked about God. You've never told us anything about God. This capital L-O-R-D was actually Jehovah. You've never told us. So why should we believe you now? And by the way, they died in the fire and brimstone, his married daughters. Because Lot had completely lost his testimony, his ability to have any impact in anyone's life for God's sake. How sad is that? The Apostle Paul said, if there's anything I don't want to happen to me, he says, then that's what it is. I don't want to lose my testimony. Go to 1 Corinthians 9, I'll show you this. And Christian, when you turn your back on the Lord and go back into sin, you're not just hurting yourself. You're hurting those around you, your loved ones. And you've lost your ability because you've lost your testimony to impact others. 1 Corinthians 9, 12, if others be partaker of this power over you, are not we rather? Nevertheless, we've not used this power, but we suffer all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. Paul says, the last thing I want to do is hinder the gospel of Jesus Christ. When Christians sin, that's exactly what they do. They hinder the gospel. They lose their effectiveness. When they go to witness to others who know their lifestyle, they say, who are you? Who are you to tell me about God? You don't live for God. And that's what happened here. His daughters and sons-in-law say, who are you to tell us what God's going to do? And Paul said, that's the last thing I want, is to hinder the gospel. So back to our passage, verse 15. When the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest they be consumed in the iniquity of this city. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters. Did you notice that they lingered? They weren't running out of the city to escape the judgment. They were still in love with living in Sodom and Gomorrah. They didn't want to leave. They lingered. The angels literally had to put their hands under their arms and drag them out of the city. The Lord being merciful. Will there be some Christians that have to literally be dragged off the earth at the rapture? Yeah. Who'd rather not leave? Unfortunately. And this is the Lord's mercy, as it says there in verse 16, the Lord being merciful. And if it wasn't for God's mercy, like we talked in Sunday school this morning, where would we be? On our way to hell. That's where. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. Titus 3:5. God saved us because God's merciful. Praise the Lord for his mercy. And it says, the Lord being merciful unto him. God can't deny himself. Lot was one of God's. Lot had obviously trusted the Lord sometime in his life, as we saw there in 2 Peter. And he had to be pulled out first. And this is a picture of us, as we'll see. So verse 17, it came to pass, when they brought them forth abroad, that he said, escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. By the way, it's the same mountain that he turned down when Abraham gave him a choice. Jesus said in Luke 9, no man having put his hand to the plow looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Apostle Paul said in Philippians 3, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul said, can't look back. And as they're dragging them out of the city, that's their only instruction. Look not behind thee, which is the title of our message this morning. Forgot to tell you that. Look not behind thee. That's it. One thing. Not five things. One thing. Don't look back. And then Jesus is teaching us, if you go back to Luke chapter 17, Jesus again is teaching us about the impact of sin on the world and in our lives. One of the shortest verses in the Bible, Luke 17, verse 32, three words. Look what they say. Remember Lot's wife. Three words. Remember Lot's wife. That's it. Look at the story, Genesis 19, read it, and remember Lot's wife. They have one instruction, don't look back. So back to our passage, verse 22. This is the beautiful part for us as Christians. Haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou come thither. I love that. The angels are saying, we cannot destroy Sodom and Gomorrah until you are out of it. Now, folks, worse destruction than Sodom and Gomorrah is coming to this earth. It's called the tribulation. Then it will be terrible. You can read about it in Revelation 6 through Revelation 18. It's terrible. Plagues, creatures from hell. It will be horrible. More than 70% of the earth will die in 7 years. Think about that. I don't know what we're up to now, 7 billion. It's going to be a horrible time, but the Bible tells us, Romans 5:9, we shall be saved from wrath. 2 Thessalonians 5:9, God hath not appointed us to wrath. And God is using Lot to teach us a lesson that he is going to remove his believers before he can pour out his wrath. And he said, I can't. Here I am, I'm an angel, I'm powerful. I mean, an angel was able to destroy 165,000 people in one night in another story. So that they have a little bit of power. They're able to destroy two giant cities with fire and brimstone. And yet he says, I cannot do anything. I can't destroy these two cities of a million people until I've removed you. And God won't destroy this earth with his tribulation until he removes us. Amen? With that trumpet and the rapture. But he overthrew the cities, as we know, verse 25. He overthrew those cities and the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities that were that which grew upon the ground. So he completely destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, as we read in 2 Peter. Verse 26. But his wife looked back. She longed for that sinful city that she had lived her life in. Her family's priorities were completely wrong. She just lost two married daughters. Well, actually, we don't know how many, but she just lost her married daughters and her sons-in-law. She lost her home. Of course, she died, but if you read further in the story, then the two daughters who Lot tried to give up to the mob committed incest with their father. Just to add to the story of Lot. And yet we get to 2 Peter and the Bible says, just Lot. If you go to Numbers 11, this is an earlier picture from Israel's life where the same thing happened. Now Israel, for 400 years, had been in slavery to Egypt. Things just kept getting worse, and they just kept crying to God and asking God to rescue them. And finally God sent them Moses, and Moses gave them the 10 plagues, and they got rescued. And they got to see the Red Sea divided and Egypt's complete army destroyed. And then they got to see God rain down manna from heaven and bring water out of a rock, and their shoes didn't. He just took such good care of them. But notice here in Numbers 11, verse 4, the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting. The children of Israel also wept again and said, who shall give us flesh to eat? We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. But now our soul is dried away. There's nothing at all beside this manna. Wait a minute. They asked God for 400 years to deliver them, and God delivers them. And they're saying, oh, Egypt was so good. If we were just back there. And after the spies brought their evil report, some of them said, let's go back. Let's go back to the place we asked God to take us out of. Here's his wife. I'd rather go back. Yeah, I know it's wicked and God's about to destroy it, but I'd rather go back. Here Israel says, we'd rather go back to the slavery. Because we could have onions instead of this free food falling out of the sky every day. Crazy, isn't it? How we lose sight of things. The Bible says, better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. We can learn so much from Lot's wife, but she looked back. God said one thing, verse 17, look not behind thee. And I believe God says the same to us. Jesus said, don't put your hand to the plow and look back. Put your hand to the plow and look forward. By the way, you'll have crooked furrows if you look back anyway. Find something on the horizon so you can have those straight lines. Jesus. Amen. Keep your eyes on the Lord and you're going to get to spend forever with him. Don't look back. Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind, I reach forth unto those things which are before. These angels said, don't, whatever you do, don't look back. And the Bible says she looked back, verse 26, and became a pillar of salt. Get to the New Testament, Jesus says, remember Lot's wife. He doesn't have to say any more, does he? Just those three words tells us so much. Don't look back. To what? What's back there? Just our wicked lives that we've been rescued from? We have things to do for God. And we can learn so much from Lot's wife. We can learn a lot from Lot, too. How not to behave as a Christian. How not to bring up our families. But to put God first and to stay away from the wickedness, as it says, come out from among them. But look not behind thee. We're here to go forward for God, not to look back. And Jesus said, whatever you do, remember Lot's wife. We need to do that. Remember Lot's wife and look forward. Praise God, we're rescued from sin already. We're going to heaven. And when the trumpet blows, God's going to pull us out of here before the judgment falls on this earth. Hallelujah. But until then, we can choose where to live and we can choose how to live. And we all know what God wants from us. Don't be like Lot. Amen. Let's pray.